we left off last week mentioning the din that we pass in halacha, not all Tanaim accepted, but we pass in halacha that Shabbos and Yom Tov is not as amount of tefillin. It wasn't 100% clear whether that meant that one's potter from tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, whether it means it's also put on tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, but lemaisa, in Shulchan Aruch, there's no question whatsoever, one does not wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And the reason why the Gemara says you don't wear tefillin is because it's called an oath, and the Torah tells us that tefillin are an oath, so Yotu Shabbos Yom Tov Shinatz Mekrim Oath. So Tosfos in a few places raises the question as to what is it about Yom Tov that gives it the status of an oath. So on Shabbos it's called an oath, the Torah says Beferi Shabbos is an oath. What is it about Yom Tov that makes it into an oath? So Tosfos in one place puts a lot of focus, a lot of emphasis on the Issa Malacha. The fact that you're not allowed to do Malacha, that Gufa categorizes Yom Tov as an oath. And then in another place, Tosfos backpedals and says, no, maybe it's not the Issa Malacha, maybe it's the Mitzvah Sayom, the fact that there are certain unique halachas to every Yom Tov, maybe it's the Mitzvah Sayom that creates the status of an oath. So Manaf Kamina, whether you go down the route of Issa Malacha, you go down the route of Mitzvah Sayom, at the end of the day, you don't wear tefillin on Yom Tov. So Tosfos writes, is Cholamoid is man tefillin or not as man tefillin? So if you go down the route of Mitzvah Sayom, so the mitzvahs hayom on Noah goes on Chol HaMoed as well. What are the mitzvahs hayom? So Tosfos writes on Sukkot, the mitzvah hayom is Sukkah. Even though the chi of Gomer reading the Sukkah, but there is Chov is only the first night. But Lamai said, if you want to eat something that's Chayv and Sukkah the rest of the week, you have to be in a Torah. So since Sukkah, the mitzvah Sukkah is Noheges the whole week, so that's considered to be perhaps an host. What about on Pesach? What's the mitzvah hayom that's Noheges the whole week of Pesach? So here, Tosfos writes different things in different places. So one place, Tosfos writes, the Yisach Chometz is doing the whole week. Another place, Tosfos appears to say that the Mitzvah Matzah plays the whole week. That's already a loaded machlekes. Is there any mitzvah whatsoever to eat matzah the whole week of Pesach? The Gemara says, Beferish, in the end of Pesachim, that it's not a mitzvah chiyuvis to eat matzah after the first night. Is there a mitzvah chiyuvis? Do you gain anything at all from eating matzah after the first night? That's not clear. That's a question in Rishonim. It's usually we call that the Shittas Hagra. The Gra wasn't the one who made up that Shita, but he's the one who popularized that Shita. So Tosfos in different places writes different things about this topic. So there are three possibilities as to how to view the Mitzvah Sayom. Is the Mitzvah Sayom, I'm sorry, the Osayom. Is the Osayom called Issa Malacha? Or does the Osayom require some kind of a mitzvah? And would the mitzvah be that positive mitzvah of Achilles Matzah, or would it be the prohibition of Achilles Chometz? So we're not exactly sure what the Os is. So then Tosfos says that what if you go down the route that it's an Issa Malacha? What if everything revolves around Issa Malacha? So does Chol HaMoed suffice to have an Issa Malacha or not? So that's already a very, very loaded question. Is the Issa Malacha and Chol HaMoed deraisa? The Rabbanim have an entire Masechta about Moed Katan that talks about all the intricacies of the Issa Malacha and Chol HaMoed. What is unclear is that it's not an Issa deraisa, it's not an Issa derabbanan. If it's only an Issa derabbanan, the whole institution of Issa Malach and Chol HaMoed is only derabbanan, so it's hard to believe that's going to qualify as an oath to patir from tefillin. It's hard to believe that a din derabbanan is going to knock out the mitzvah deraisa of tefillin. If you hold that the Issa Malach and Chol HaMoed is an Issa deraisa, then Ken Zayin, then it could be that the Issa deraisa qualifies as an oath, and the oath is sufficient. So we have a lot of moving pieces to this puzzle. We're not sure how to define oath altogether. Should we be going down the route of Mitzvah Sayom? That would put Chol HaMoed in the same box as Yom Tov proper. Should we be going down the route of Issa Malacha? And Imtim Tzalayim, we go down the route of Issa Malacha. We're not quite sure, is the Issa Malacha deraisa derabbanan? What's the answer to that question? Is Malacha and Chol HaMoed deraisa derabbanan? So this was a big machlokes of two brothers, the Rabbeinu Tam and the Reshbam. Rabbeinu Tam made several observations about Malachas Chol HaMoed. Rabbeinu Tam says that the rules of Chol HaMoed are almost impossible to pin down. The Mishnayos, the Gemara, the first 10 blot of Moed Katan talk about Dover Ovid's Mutter and Tzorech Hayom Maisa Hedyot's Mutter and Maisa Umin is Osir and Tzorech Rabim is Mutter. Everything under the sun, this rule, that rule, they're so arbitrary, the rules. So Rabbeinu Tam throws his hands up and he says he can't believe that this is an Issa Deraisa. There's no way that an Issa Deraisa would be subject to so many nuances of sometimes also sometimes. But Yisum Deraisa, either it's Chazr, it's Chazr. Is it Shatnez, it's Shatnez. Either it's Shabbos, it's not Shabbos. You don't have these nuances that, well, sometimes you'll add to Malacha and sometimes not. And sometimes you can and sometimes he can. The whole thing doesn't make any sense with Deraisa. And therefore Rabbeinu Tam said the entire institution of Malachas Chol HaMoed, lock, stock, and barrel is only mid Rabban. And his brother, the Rashbam, disagreed because the Gemara says in the end of Maseches Pesachim on the Pesach, Elohei Masechol lo sas alach es chag ha-matzos tishpon. The Pesachim in Pashas Kisisa first warn us not to be Ovid of Edizara, and then it says, you have to keep Pesach. So the Gemara in the end of Pesachim says, mikan that if someone is mevaza samoyados, so he's a kilu avir avedizara. So what does that mean to be mevaza samoyados? So the Rashbam on the spot says it can't be talking about yontif proper doing malacha yontif, because what do I need this drasha to tell me I can't do malacha yontif? It says the chumash lasasu lasasu. Whenever the Gemara has a drasha kol hadis kilu that almost always means that there's no pasuk explicit to answer it. So the drasha, the smichas apsukim, whatever it is, coming to highlight just how bad this particular action is. Like what the Gemara says, that kol hakoyis kilu avir v'rezara, it's because the Torah doesn't say v'da b'shem mashlem, but don't get angry. When the Gemara says kol misyar, anyone who's a bal gaiva is kilu avir v'rezara, because it doesn't say v'da b'shem mashlem, don't be a bal gaiva. So that's what Chazal have to find ramotim and drashas and psukim to highlight how these things are so bad. So if the Gemara is highlighting that kol mevaza some others kilu avir v'rezara, it's dafka because there's no pasuk explicitly to say this is asur. So says the Rashbam, so then the Gemara can't be talking about doing malach and yontem, malach is mefer shepasuk. So it must be that when the Gemara says kol mevaza samayadis, it means chalamayid. So taka chalamayid, it's not explicit in the Chumash that malach chalamayid is asur. So it comes to Rashbam and says, this is the makor, kol mevaza samayadis, that's called the bizayin hamayid, and that would be a problem even on the love of deraisa. So whereas Rabbi Tam said that malach chalamayid legamri derabanan, the Rashbam said, no, they're not explicit, not mefurish b'teira, but they do have the status of being a deraisa. So according to the Rashbam, how do you have this wild idea that it's mutahir, asahir, masahir, mutahir? How did all that happen? So that's what the Rishonim explained, that malachas chalamayid, if it's deraisa, falls into the following unique category. It's called la mesara kosav el lechachamim. Most dinim deraisa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu the details. Either he told him the details of the Torah Shemichsav, or the details in the Torah Shebapeh. So let's say, the Marshal, it says, don't eat chazer. So the Marshal said, don't eat this thing. Oink, oink, you know, chazer, that's it. That's all you have to know. You know, there aren't too many more details. The Torah says, l'sasaka malacha. So that needs a little bit more explanation, what's called a malacha. So the Marshal told Moshe Rabbeinu, malacha is a mishkan, what was malacha is a mishkan, chavis, a rekait, a man, etc. Third nine malachas. So those were nimsru the Moshe Rabbeinu, either b'chsav or b'alpeh. But sometimes the Rebbe Hashem gave a mitzvah, gave a parashat to Moshe Rabbeinu, and the details are missing. The details are missing legamrei. So let's say the Moshel, the Torah says, Cholamoid has to be Yebei Mikra Kodesh. They're including Mikra Kodesh. What does it mean to be Mikra Kodesh? What do you do and not do when something is a Mikra Kodesh? So that's what the Gemara says, Besar Kos L'Chachamim. So the Chachamim determined that everything you do on Cholamoid has to be something that enhances the Kedusha Sayyam. Anything that detracts from Kedusha Sayyam is a problem. So if you go ahead and you do a maleches hedya l'tzarech hamoed, that makes sense. If you have a dover oved, so the Ritva says, if we're not going to let you do dover oved, the guy's going to be miserable, he's going to be upset, he's not going to enjoy yontif. So that's going to shter the mikra kodesh. So come the Rishonim and explain that the whole model of maleches chalamoed is a model d'araisa, but it's a model d'araisa that the Torah itself is not keveya. The Torah just says in general not to do, not you can't treat Cholamoid like a regular business, not a regular work day. It's different. It's Mikra Kodesh. It's something unique. How it expresses its uniqueness, that's Besar Kos of the Chachamim. Once the Chama Keveya, the following rules, then anyone who violates those rules is in violation of a Bitl Mitzvah Deraisa, Mikra Kodesh. So we have different opinions in the Rishonim what Malachas Cholamoid is all about. So Tosfos now tells us that's going to impact on Hanachas Tefillin. So if you hold like Rabbeinu Tam that the whole model of Cholamoid is Derabbanan, the whole Malacha, there's no Issa Deraisa Bechlal in Cholamoid Min HaTorah. So then, if you think that Malacha is the Keveh of the Shemos, then you can be Chayav Tefillin Min Deraisa. If you think either that Mitzvah Sayom are Keveh the Shemos, or if you believe that Malacha is Keveh the Shemos, but you think that there's some kind of a Shaykhah of Malacha Cholamoid being Deraisa like Rashbam, then you are free to think that you can be Potter from Tefillin and Cholamoid. So because of this whole chort, this whole balagan, every time Tosfos raises the question, it's unclear. There's no raya brua one way or the other from the Gemara. At the end of the day, the Rishonim split on this one. Major, major machlokes in Rishonim about this topic. So there were a couple of interesting halachic / historical tidbits that went into this discussion as to whether you do or don't wear tefillin and chalamoid. So in the olden days, so the standard Ashkenazi opinion seemed to have been to actually wear tefillin and chalamoid. The Rush writes this explicitly, that he writes that he wore tefillin and chalamoid, he made a bracha tefillin and chalamoid, he held b'teres v'adai that you have to wear tefillin and chalamoid. And in the Sfati Rishonim, so you found an interesting thing, that in some of the early Sfati Rishonim you found potter, the Rashba says that he thinks you're potter from tefillin, but in many of the Sfati Rishonim, actually they were of the opinion that you do have to wear tefillin and chalamoid. The Beis Yosef writes that the early minig in Spain was in fact I don't know if it's the universal minhag, the Rashi was also a Rav in Spain, but the Beis Yosef writes that in his days, so immediately preceding him, so the standard practice was, in fact, to wear tefillin, even in the Sephardic communities, and then the Beis Yosef writes that it changed, that in the later years, so the minhag changed legamrei, right? And all the Sephardic communities stopped wearing a tefillin and chol hamoed. What prompted them to change? So the Beis Yosef says it's based on the Midrash HaNe'alam, based on the hidden Midrash. What is the Midrash HaNe'alam? That's the Zohar. So the Beis Yosef didn't quote it, he called it the Midrash HaNe'alam, so the hidden Sisrei Torah. So he writes that in the earlier years, people weren't so familiar with what it said in the Zohar. In the later years, the Zohar became more mefursam, so they noticed that it says in the Zohar that you're not supposed to wear tefillin chol hamoed. So the Zohar came from the days of the Tanoim, so the Zohar, the Sfadi Rabbanim felt that even though in the Gemara itself it's not so clear one way or the other, but since state and desire are befavors that you don't wear tefillin, so you don't wear tefillin chol hamoed, and therefore the whole Pesach in Spain changed. That's what the Beis Yosef writes in the Chos Tefillin. So the Rosh would respond by saying that as a general we have a rule that when you have machlekes between the Gemara and the Zohar, so you follow what says in the Gemara, that even if you have Toseftas and Mechiltas and Sefreis, other works from Tanoim, but the Chachmei Bavel had the final word. We spoke about it a little bit in Shia, that they had the final Achara in terms of Pesach Halacha. So the Rosh was understood that the simple reading of the Talmud Bavli is that you do wear tefillin chol hamoed. So therefore the Rosh said, we should stick to the Ashkenazi practice. So that was the two different minhagim that existed in the days of the Mechaber and the Ramah. Those were the two different trains of thought. So you had the Shulchan Aruch, who was representing, in a sense, the latest Sfaradi practice, to refrain from wearing tefillin chol hamoed. And the Ramah writes, Avadi wear tefillin chol hamoed. The Ramah writes, Avadi wear tefillin, you make it a bracha on it. Remember, Torah's Avadi, you have to wear tefillin. Then you had later Acharonim of the Taz, who came up with this idea that it's hard for us to be Machriya, so we'll treat it like a Sveikah Dedina. So what should we do with a Sveikah? We should put it on and not make a bracha. So the Taz says that would be the best way. That's Efshel L'Kayim Shneim. The Mishnah Berurah adds on to that. It says that you should put it on ala Sofek, namely, if I'm chayev, matoiv. If I'm not chayev, so I'm just putting leather straps on myself. It shouldn't be a shalav and isser. Remember, we spoke about there may be an isser to put on tefillin on days where you're not supposed to be wearing tefillin. So you had these whole different approaches. You had the Shulchan Aruch representing the innovative Sfaradi Pesach to refrain from wearing tefillin chol hamoed. You had the Ramah who's quoting the Rosh and the Chachmei Ashkenaz saying you have to wear a mashal bracha. Then you have some Ashkenazi achronim who are trying to walk the fence here, trying not to fall off. So then, as you move the clock forward a little bit, so two things happened.
Didn't we say that Isser is only man damar Laila last month tefillin?
No, so that was machlekes. So we said that if you hold that Laila is man tefillin and the whole mocker is went down from Oh, so then we're not sure. Is the sugi of Os an Isser or is the sugi of Os a poter? That we left kind of hanging last week. So then you move the clock forward to now to the 1700s. So now two important things are developed. So one was the Vilna Gaon entered onto the scene of history, and the Vilna Gaon was machriya against the Ramah. Vilna Gaon says he doesn't think the Ramah is correct. He says he thinks that the Iker Din is like the Zohar in effect like the Shulchan Aruch. He thinks the Raish and the Gemara are fakert in favor of the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch and the Rashba, and therefore he doesn't think that we should wear tefillin. He writes about the Ramah, the Ein Lo Shum Mokah B'Gemara. He says the Shittas Ramah doesn't have any Mokah in the Gemara, and therefore he thinks the more correct Pesach is that one should refrain from wearing tefillin. That was one interesting piece of information. Another piece of information entered onto the scene in the 1700s was the Hasidim. And the Hasidim picked up many, many minhagim of the Zohar, many minhagim of the Mekubalim, and therefore en masse, all of a sudden, you had these a lot of people in Europe who were not wearing, even Ashkenazim, so to be people who came from Ashkenazi stock, were no longer wearing tefillin and chol hamoed, following the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch, following the Pesach of the Zohar, And so be it. So this is how things were developing. So now move the clock ahead another 200-300 years. So now we have the following two phenomena that exist in Klal Yisrael, in today's world. So you have what's called the Minhag Eretz Yisrael. So the Minhag Eretz Yisrael is unequivocally not to wear tefillin. Nobody wears tefillin in Eretz Yisrael on Chol HaMoed, at least publicly. Some diehards still may put it on privately, but nobody wears tefillin in any shul in Eretz Yisrael, to the best of my knowledge, publicly. And the reason is very, very simple. That there's a general rule, if you want to understand Minhagi Eretz Yisrael of the last 100 years, so there were three different factors that were kaveh the Minhagi Eretz Yisrael. One was the practice of the Sephardim. The Sephardim were always around. There were Sephardic communities even before the Ashkenazim started to come en masse in later years. So the Sephardi, the old Minhag Sfarad is one factor. Then you had a second factor is the Minhag of the Gra, because many of the Talmidim of the Gra who arrived in Eretz Yisrael in the late 1700s, early 1800s, were the early Prushim, the ones who set up the background of the old Yeshuv, in a sense, the the Minhagim, when you hear those phrases, Minhagim Yerushalayim, that kind of stuff. So that usually dates back from that period of time. So many of them are predicated upon the Minhagi Agra. And there were also many of the Chassidim, many of the Talmid of Hashem Tov also came to Eretz Yisrael at this time. So they brought their Minhagim with them. So as a general rule, if you want to understand Minhagi Eretz Yisrael, so whenever you have a situation where all three forces happen to agree, although they're very, very different worlds. The Sfaradim, Chassidim, Tumini, Agra, they come from three different parts of Klal Yisrael, but in this punkt, this Nakuda, they have to all agree to. So whenever you have all three of them agreeing to one thing, that's usually going to be the carry of the day. And that's exactly what happened over here. That's when the Minhag Eretz Yisrael became very, very clear that nobody wears tefillin. What about outside of Eretz Yisrael, Chutzlatz, in America? So America, yesh v'yesh. It depends where people are coming from. So I'm not so old, but I could even see a change in my own 50 plus years, a little bit of a change in terms of demographics. That what's happened, I think, over the last 50 years in America, there's been a tremendous shift to not wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, for probably the following reason. That, again, anyone who comes from any Hasidic background, so is not wearing tefillin l'chol moed. Whether they're practicing Hasid, whether they're wearing garat l'chanan, if they have any Hasidic blood in them, they're probably not wearing tefillin l'chol moed. If they're Sfarim, they're not. If they're Tamini Agra, not. And more often than not, if they're Baal Tshuva, they're not. Because very often, when many of the Minhagim of Baal Tshuva ended up coming from Eretz Yisrael. Very often, people became from. They went off to yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. They picked up, people didn't have, you know, Minhagim Kavum of the family, so picked up Eretz Yisrael, Dikim Minhagim. And even when they came back to America, so somehow those Minhagim stuck. Well, very often, they would find themselves in shuls where most people probably were not wearing tefillin, so they kind of got swallowed up in the hole. And that's why what's happened in the last 50 years is that the numbers have shifted drastically. When I was younger, so there were a lot more people with tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Because a lot of the Jewish community years ago, you had a lot more of the older Yekis who were very, very strong wearing tefillin. Some of many of the Misnagdim who were not necessarily from the Vilna Gaon, but many of the other Misnagdim groups were still wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Slowly, over the last couple of generations, so those numbers have depleted a little bit, and the non-tefillin people have excelled. So if you go into a regular shul today, I can imagine where do you guys live?
Riverdale.
Which are you diving in?
Young Israel.
Taka had a lot of old Yekis in the old days, but it's probably also changed. Well, what are the numbers there? Do you remember? I think approximately Chol HaMoed.
It could be as much as 50-50.
Yeah, I think the Young Israel is probably not a good example because there were a lot of old timers. I remember when I used to daven that show also, so there were still a lot of old timers who were Yekis there. So I'm not sure that's the best. Where else you guys live?
Lawrence,
Montana. What's going on there?
It's very few.
Very few people wearing tefillin, right? Very few. Where you guys are?
LA also.
Also very few, right? Very few. No, where else? Or Torah, very few in our show, right? The numbers are also, I'd say, I put it at close to 90-10, I think, in Asheville at this point. No? Something like that, yeah. So I think I think the Young Israel Riverdale may be a little bit of the throwback to the old generation still. But many of the shuls in America, I think the numbers are really, really creeping up in terms of a significant majority. Anyway, so that's just a little bit of a halakhic background, historical background, so what's going on in terms of the film. The Mishnah Berurah has a comment that you shouldn't have a mixture in the same shul, since the pile of losses go to do, which is what most shuls do. So, how do we deal with that? So Rav Moshe writes to the Tshuva in a little bit of a different context. Rav Moshe writes that he's not so sure there's Los Eskoldu in America, because Los Eskoldu meant when you have like a real minute kavu of a community, and so you're not supposed to have like two minhagim kavuim in the same community. So in America, there are no minhagim in America. America is a hodgepodge, it's a cholim. So shuls were not started by any one real group of people. There are mergers of different communities. So any given shul in America has some Yekis in it, probably a handful of some Sfarim in it, some Chassidim in it, a couple of Litvaks in it. So you got a group of everybody. So that's not real Eskoldu to do. You have very, very few places today in America that have absolute minhagim kavuim. So it's interesting, I would think of two places. And those two places actually have different minhagim about tefillin. So Breuer's, the old Breuer's, I mean, that's, you know, it's not like it was in its heyday, but in Breuer's, I think it's unheard of to walk into Breuer's and put on, and not to put on tefillin in Breuer's. Breuer's, they for sure wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. But again, that's a community that was Breuer's through and through. If you go to Satmar today and you're going to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, they're going to throw you out. If you go to Anuska, they're going to throw you out. That's a minute kavua. That this is the way we all do it in this place. So whatever the case may be. Okay, so let's move on a little bit to the extension of this din, the corollary of this din, that because there is a zman, which tefillin doesn't apply, whether that zman is Laila, whether that zman is Shabbos and Yom Tov, including Chol HaMoed, That leads us to the following conclusion. Therefore, tefillin is a mitzvah seisha as magrama, and therefore women are pturus from tefillin. That's how we pass in the halacha. We mentioned last week there's one Tana that says that you have to wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the Gemara at the end of Erevin says, Atak, according to that Tana, women have to wear tefillin. But we don't pass like that. We bask in that women don't have to wear tefillin because it's considered to be a zman grama. So now the question becomes, whenever you have a mitzvah that a woman doesn't have to do, so does that mean she doesn't have to do it, but she can volunteer if she wants to? Or do we say, no, she shouldn't volunteer? So that was the Machlekes HaTanoim. So we pask in Halacha that women are allowed to volunteer doing mitzvahs that they're pturus from. That's why a woman, we assume, can sit in the sukkah, a woman can shake a lulav. There was a Machlekes Rebbe Tam and the Rambam, when a woman volunteers to do a mitzvah, she's not chayev sin, does she also recite a bracha? So the Rambam says, you can't make a bracha. The Rambam says, how can you say with a straight face, Shekhidishan mitzvah yisitzvah, nishvit sivanu? And Rabbi Natan disagreed. Rabbi Natan says, no, even though she's not mechuyaves, it's still called a ma'isa mitzvah, albeit a mitzvah kiyumis, and it's a mitzvah yaisa. So therefore, Rabbi Natan held that she can recite a bracha on mitzvah seisha as man grama. So that was a machlokes to Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. The Shulchan Aruch follows, not surprisingly, the Shita's Ramah. That's why the Sephardi women today do not make a bracha when they say the sukkah, they don't make a bracha when they shake a lulav. And the Ashkenazi women, by and large, do. How could we say Vitzivan? The Rav was right. What kind of Vitzivan was that? So the Ran has a famous comment where the Ran writes in Masechet Kedushin that Vitzivan is Beloshin Rabbim. So she's not thanking the Rabban Shalom for giving her the mitzvah. She is speaking in general terms. The Rabban Shalom gave Klal Yisrael the mitzvah. I personally don't have the tzivu, but Vitzkasher Kedushanu, Vitzvasa Vitzivanu. So you see a right here that the Rav was not Hasidisha, because if he would have been a Hasidisha, he would have said Vitzivani. He wouldn't have said Vitzivanu. So in case you're looking for a Raya, it's a good Raya. Anyway, back to our story. So, notwithstanding the fact that we usually are perfectly okay with women volunteering to do mitzvah seishas mangrama, there are actually two mitzvah seishas mangrama that the Ramah makes mention to discourage women from doing. One of them is tzitzis. We spoke about that earlier in the year, why tzitzis is different. And the one for now is the mitzvah of tefillin. So the Ramah writes that women should not be wearing tefillin, that even if a woman wants to volunteer to wear tefillin, so she's not permitted to do so. We have to stop her from, we have to strongly discourage her from wearing tefillin. Why is tefillin different than lulav and shofar and sukkah and other mitzvahs that we're perfectly okay with women volunteering to do, and Ashkenazi even let women recite brachas? So the reason for this is based on the following, that we're going to talk about it a little bit later, like in the next 2 minutes, that we don't exactly wear tefillin as much as we're really supposed to. We spoke a little bit about that last week, that you're really supposed to wear tefillin all day. Either they're ice, if they're butter, chi of ki, whatever the details of that are, but you're really supposed to wear tefillin all day. So why don't we, Lebaisa, why don't we wear tefillin all the time? So the Gaonim write that we shy away from wearing tefillin all the time because it's hard to keep our minds and our bodies in an appropriate state of tefillin. There are dinim of gufnaki and there, dinim of you can't have hezchadas. There are things that you're not supposed to do when you're wearing tefillin, and therefore it's very, very hard for us to do that for 12 hours straight. So therefore the practice became, many over 1,000 years ago, the practice became that everyone puts on tefillin for a very, very short amount of time. For davening, that's the ikar we spoke, Kodesh Ritva, Kodesh Kriyishma, whatever it is. That's the mainstay of when the mitzvah tefillin is. And the rest of the day is nice, but l'maisa, we can't live up to those standards, so therefore it's better for us not to. So the poskim explained that basically our approach to the mitzvah tefillin is like this. Whatever you have to do in tefillin, you do. Whatever you don't have to do, you don't do. That we're not running to volunteer to put on tefillin. We're not wanting to keep tefillin on 3 o'clock in the afternoon, because it's not such hailing at tzaddikim. Some people are hailing at tzaddikim today. I'm not such a big tzaddik. So for me, it's hard enough to keep tefillin on for a half hour. So anyone who's mechuyev to wear tefillin, and whenever you're mechuyev, a lazy bread, you have to do it. But if you're not mechuyev, so don't run after it. So don't have a woman go ahead and volunteer to put on tefillin today. If you lived in the olden days, when everyone was such a kedoshim and tayyim, everyone was such a gevaldik and machshavis, so yeah, the Gemara Neivrin says, micha bashol, has menichas tefillin. Okay, so a lot of old, so great things that we're not holding by doing now. So we live in a generation ready since the days of Gaonim, that we shy away from putting on tefillin unless we're absolutely mechuyev and belishum safik. So therefore, our practice is that women do not wear tefillin, and women should be discouraged from wearing tefillin. This halacha of that one has to be very, very careful when wearing tefillin, so there are really two different things one has to be careful about. One has to be careful about guf noki, and one has to be careful about hesech hadas. The Gemara says beferish that one is not allowed to be masiach das for one's tefillin. The Gemara derives this from a pasuk from tzitz, that when the Kohen Gadol wears the tzitz, so Lo Mitzchot Tamid, he has to think about the tzitz all the time. So too, Kavachem, you have to think about your tefillin. Tefillin has more shamus than the tzitz has. So there's machlokes Tais in the Rambam. Is this a real drasha deraisa? Taisus writes in Yuma, they think this is only an asmach, only midrabanan. The Yosef Es Chadas and the Rambam seems to say that's mamash a real, it's a real bona fide din deraisa. So you have to be careful. Person has to be careful when they're wearing tefillin, not from Mesiach Das from tefillin. What does that mean? Not from Mesiach. What do the words mean? Not from Mesiach Das from tefillin. So Rabbi Yona is quoted by the Rosh saying that the Yisur has Chadas is only when you have in mind, when you have you thinking about things like Schot V'Kalas Rosh. You're doing things, you're talking about things, you're thinking about things, you're acting in ways that are antithetical to tefillin. It's mamash, you're joking around, you're talking about things that maybe you're not also to talk about the rest of the time, but with tefillin it would be antithetical. But let's say a person's just doing neutral things. A person's doing his work. A person's writing, doing his homework. A person's, sitting doing something in their office, and they're wearing tefillin. They're not thinking about tefillin per se. So the Rabbi Yonah writes, that's not called eschadas mit tefillin. It's only called eschadas mit tefillin if you're mamish besiach das, literally. And others disagree. The Shekes Aryeh tries to show you that other Rishonim disagree. It's not clear who does or doesn't agree to the Shekes Aryeh. The question that forced the Rabbi Yonah to come to that conclusion is that the Gemara says you're not supposed to sleep in your tefillin, but a very, very short nap you're allowed to have. It's a Gemara Masechta Sukkah that you put your head down for a couple of minutes. Some ikra din that's really mutter in the tefillin. If you go to sleep for 3 hours, we're afraid you're going to have not gufnochi. If you head down for a minute or two, that's okay. So ask the Shekhar, ask Rabbi Yonah, how can Chazal be mati you to put down your head even for a second? It's a Heschadas. So he says, from here you see that's not called Heschadas. Heschadas doesn't mean neutral thoughts. Heschadas means antithetical thoughts. So others have different answers to that, Kasha. The Aruch HaShulchan has a fascinating answer. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that the Issa B'Mesiach Das B'Tfilin only applies at a time when you're fulfilling the mitzvah of tefillin. So let's say for example, a person's wearing tefillin on Shabbos for some reason, when you hold the mutter wears tefillin on Shabbos. So the Aruch HaShulchan seems to understand there wouldn't be an Issa Heschadas. Heschadas doesn't mean that there's a din that when you have tefillin on your body, you can't be Mesiach Das. Heschadas means at the time that you're trying to perform the mitzvah's tefillin is to pay attention to the tefillin. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, when you go to sleep, you're not performing mitzvahs. When you're sleeping, people don't get mitzvahs. Sleeping people are, he writes, it's 1/60th of death. Meisim Chavshi. So he writes the Aruch HaMoshal. He said, when you're sleeping, that's not a time to perform mitzvahs. So when the guy falls asleep, that's not called Mesiach Das, but that tefillin. So it's a little bit of a catch-22. You're allowed to fall asleep because the minute that you fall asleep and you don't know what's going on, Mamele, you're part from the mitzvah tefillin anyway. It's an interesting idea. So whatever the answer is, the bottom line is, for sure you shouldn't be doing very, very antithetical things to the tefillin. Things that are neutral, so that's a question whether that's included in Heschadas. But whatever you define Heschadas Kufnoki, the bottom line is it's those two halachas that are responsible for us not wearing tefillin at great length more than we actually have to. That's the reason probably also why we don't have ketanim with tefillin. The Gemara says in Sukkah that once the katan knows not to go to the bathroom with his tefillin on, he knows gufnaki, so then he can really wear tefillin. So nobody does that today. Nobody has 10-year-old kids putting on tefillin. We wait till otan, right before the bar mitzvah, to put on tefillin. Again, that same idea that we're not running bizman hazeh to go put on tefillin unnecessarily. That if you're a man and you're chayiv, you know, bar mitzvah, you're not mishchiv, go with the rice and wear tefillin. It's a lace berry, you have to wear tefillin, so to speak. But if you're not mechuyev outright to wear tefillin, then it's better not to because we're so afraid of all the kedusha that tefillin that it's hard to live up to the proper standard. Okay, so we have one or two things left in Hilchos Tefillin. It won't take us the whole shiur next week. We'll try to just finish that quickly, and then hopefully mitzvah next week we'll start already into the next topic, into Birchas Hatorah. Okay. So.